But you have people, overusing them and misusing them and simply not understanding them, that the people who are prescribing them don't have any kind of real great understanding of how these things work.
I guess it's my concern that psychiatry as a whole has moved towards offering drugs as a solution instead of investigating other ways to help people. And these drugs in themselves can have a very damaging effect on the body and the brain. And I believe we have another caller. All right, we'll take another call. Hello, CKLN. Do you have a comment or a question? Oh, not there. Another call. Hello, caller?
Hello, yes.
Yes, hi. Do you have a comment or question for our panel on mind control?
Yes, I do. I've been following this mind control series from the beginning and find that the evidence from the survivors and therapists and research experts are solid proof that the existence of ritual abuse and mind control has gone on and is still going on. Yet when the CBC aired the miniseries In the Sleep Room, they advertised a comedy about dysfunctional families during that segment and in that time spot, and they made it was a comical comment that they made about it, and which I found very distasteful. And of course, the drama about Ewan Cameron was not accurate. Also, on a phone-in show, Jane Houghton Live, when she had a couple of doctors on from Mount Sinai, which were they were talking about cloning and how it could be beneficial. And one of the doctors made in a joking manner about multiplicity, so it seems that some information is getting out and professionals are not taking it seriously. And I also heard a radio commercial in which poked fun at someone having multiple personalities and how she had to go to therapy before she could have any serious relationship. It seems that the CKLN series has reached a lot of people, but mainstream commercial culture is making a big joke about it. Do you think that we will have a culture that will be bent on having a split belief system where they make fun of schizophrenia in that manner, or where money and drugs dominate one belief system and true values and therapy for MPD will be an underground belief?
I think that's what we're seeing today. Certainly, all of this information that's coming out, there is going to be backlash, and that certainly has been happening with organizations such as the False Memory Syndrome Foundation trying to discredit any valid accounts coming forward. In terms of the media, I think you're absolutely right. They are not taking this seriously. They haven't taken it seriously. It's something that should have been addressed by the professional media years ago, and they have failed to do so. And they still refuse, with very few exceptions, they still refuse to look at the evidence. And I think, we've got to ask the question, what are the power relationships there between the media and the people that are actually performing these, or responsible for performing these experiments in the government? So, thank you for your comments. And we do have another caller. Yes, caller, do you have any questions or comments for our panel?
Yes, thanks a lot for this series. It's really meant a lot to me to listen to it. I'm a counselor, and I mostly have worked with women over the last, say, 25 years. And one thing I'd like to point out, which makes me really nervous, is the, first of all, the idea of the Clark merging with the Addiction Research Foundation. The Neanderthals at the Clark must be rubbing their hands together just at the thought of getting a hold of drug users. It makes me very nervous as to what they may do insofar as continuing the electroshock experimentation. The other thing is that one of the things that I find just in my experience, I'll speak strictly from my experience, but there seems to be quite a few parallels between with women. The postpartum depression is usually a time when a lot of women have discovered that after their first child, they've been sexually abused themselves. And there's what I call a real strong tie-in with postpartum depression and previous sexual abuse in the new mother. And one thing that makes me nervous for these women, especially because they've been used a lot in the system for drug experimentation, electroshock, just because they are depressed, But they're hard work, too, and it's a lot easier for the medical establishment to drug up patients than to listen to them and have to work with them, because it is hard work. And getting to the bottom of some of these issues don't seem to be a priority. The priority seems to be how can we get funded by a big pharmaceutical so that we can pump up the victim further and make sure that they don't have clarity of thought. I know of only maybe two cases in the last 30 years that I've dealt with personally where electroshock had any benefit whatsoever. I just want to say that.
I should say that in the case of Cameron, I mean, this is a good point in that that women have tended to make up a disproportionate number of the patients in these institutions. That was certainly the case in the Allen when Cameron was there. And part of the reason was that when you had women with postpartum depression or women with, you know, postmenopausal depression who were coming in, one of the problems then, and one of the things we may be retreating to now, is that there was little discrimination between the various groups you had. So you had people at the Allen who were alcoholics, you had people with postpartum depression, you had schizophrenics, you had people major psychotics. So, but they were all getting essentially the same treatment, under Cameron's care. You'd have people getting very intrusive treatments who didn't have any kind of symptoms that would warrant that kind of invasive treatment. And
sure, part of it is that, you know, when a woman goes through postpartum depression, a lot of it is total withdrawal because her anger is just absolutely so profound. The only way she can deal with it is to withdraw. And most of these doctors have been men. I hate to say that. It's nothing personal. But when you think about it, you know, they couldn't perceive and deal with an angry woman. So, of course, she had to be crazy. So let's drug her up and shock her up because, you know, she's not so, that's not her role. She's supposed to be more compliant than that. How dare she be angry, you know? I mean, it was just like Cuda, we were set up, and so many women are still today. I think, you know, there should be a real serious thought about, you know, merging places like the Clark with the Addiction Research Foundation, because, you know, every person that uses drugs, whether they're prescription, recreational, whatever, are going to be pathologized further. These kinds of things make me really nervous.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. It seems that psychiatry is dominated by a patriarchy. It seems to be another manifestation of that. And then just the whole approach of psychiatry as well, in terms of being very judgmental and not being open. And I think that's why we're at the place we are, in terms of just a quick fix drug solution or shock them for the answers. And I think if we had more women in psychiatry, hopefully the situation wouldn't have been as bad as it is now. But I think I'd like to just reinforce Don's sentiments about working towards the abolishment of psychiatry, because I think they're just barking up the wrong tree.
I agree. I'm not, I don't say that for a minute that there aren't people out there with serious mental problems. But another thing I'd like to mention, insofar as my experience with women who have had this postpartum depression, is that, number one, you know, it brings up memories of their own sexual abuse, number one. And number two, we forget nutrition in a lot of this. And in the 50s and 60s, when Cameron was in his heyday, we were all being bombarded by the advertising world telling us how great fast foods and crap like that was. So consequently, we forgot to eat right. And when we don't eat right and we don't have proper nutrition, our brain doesn't work as well. And we get confused. We're dehydrated. I mean, how many people drink a bottle of water a day? You know, it's not much different today. And these things are really significant, because if you start to ask somebody about their eating patterns, you find that they don't have any vitamins and minerals in their system. They eat totally processed foods.
Mm-hmm. And no wonder they're depressed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point. And I think you've raised a very important point as well with the postpartum depression and the memories of sexual abuse. I haven't heard that before. I think that's quite intriguing. We do have another caller on the line. We're going to take another caller. We have about 15 minutes left in the panel. You're listening to CKLN 88.1. We're in the middle of a panel discussion on mind control to wrap up the radio series. Yes, caller, are you there? Nope. So you can phone 595-1655 or 595-1477. to ask a question or a comment for our panel. We have another caller. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, hello, caller.
Well, it's me again. I'll be much shorter, but I had to make a brief statement.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm glad you're calling for the abolition of shotgun. A bunch of us survivors here in the United States, there are very various groups, about 60-some groups around the world that called for the end of involuntary psychiatry, which certainly includes electroshock, because electroshock as the primary brainwashing weapon was always used, and it still is used against people's will. There is no such thing as giving informed consent, for the very reason that in order to give consent, you have to be informed. And the people are being lied to by these shock doctors. You know, they're not told about permanent memory loss, they're not told about brain damage, and they're not told about the, you know, you can have permanent problems in concentration. So I just wanted to make it clear that when Cameron and others whom he trained, who are now heads of psychiatry across Canada, give electroshock, they are assaulting you. They're assaulting the brain. And in the case of women, I call it psychiatric rape. And it's a little bit disheartening that not more groups among the elderly and women are not speaking out as much as they might, you know, against electroshock, because it's targeting the elderly and women. And the other thing I want to say about someone that mentioned, or you mentioned, Wayne, about the media scare, about the problems in the media. I think that they're the latest Stars series, Toronto Star, you know, January 10th to the 16th. It was a disgusting, demonizing series that, you know, if people weren't stigmatized before the Star series, they are now. You know, it makes everybody who's had a psychiatric history or who might come under the gun of a psychiatrist be a criminal. You know, it promoted the myth of the dangerous mental patient. This is a sort of, this is the kind of media indoctrination that's really dangerous. It has to be resisted. And I think they're laying the groundwork, as someone said, for forced drugging in the community, for outpatient committal, which I have to say is unfortunately coming to Ontario and other provinces unless we resist.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of fascism. And I think psychiatric fascism. But that's all I want to say, and I urge people to sue any doctor that gives them treatment against their will, and not to buy or to subscribe that paper until it publishes articles written by psychiatric survivors, and stop pushing the medical model of mental illness. So thanks for hearing me. I know I've tried to get a lot in, Wayne, but...
Well, thanks for your input, Don. I think it's interesting to look from the we've heard allegations from survivors of government mind control that talk about the use of electricity and electroshock within their control, and it is an extremely coercive method of controlling somebody. Electroshock seems to be unbelievably painful, and has been used as an instrument of torture and in traumatizing these people to contribute to the induction of dissociation and multiple personalities for the purpose of mind control, and that this instrument of torture and trauma is used as treatment, I think, is quite ironic. Did you have a comment there, Don?
Yeah, I think that in a way, that to some degree, that it has to be discriminated between, if we look at these concepts literally, between brainwashing and mind control, and that the brainwashing, from the literal perspective of taking, you know, 100 electroshocks or whatever means, you know, chemical means or isolation, whatever, that to some degree that term is apt, and that you end up, you know, reducing the brain. You end up, in the case of electroshock, they had people who had lost their ability for language. So you'd regress them right back to almost infancy, erasing most of their learned behavior that would gradually come back in bits and pieces, leaving out all kinds of things. But then when you go into the mind control aspect, in the case of Cameron's work, where he had great success in brainwashing, but literally no success, a spectacular lack of success in mind control. I mean, you would have all these electroshock treatments, then you would give someone, you know, on a tape loop, you would have a single message repeated 500,000 times. You know, they would be repeated for months. The only thing that person would hear. And at the end of that period, he couldn't repeat that message, that after hearing it for 500,000 times, he still couldn't, that the brain would resist to such a degree the brain was it was very complex. You could reduce it, but you couldn't build it back up again in your own image. And that was the problem with Cameron's work. And that was the reason the CIA quit their funding. He'd been writing papers saying that he'd had 100% success rate. In fact, the success rate was approaching zero. And when they went and looked at the work firsthand, they realized, there's nothing here for us. That these people are incapable of doing anything. He's reduced them to almost a vegetative state, and they aren't capable of functioning. So that those two ideas are, in effect, kind of separate ideas.
I think we have another caller. Caller, are you there?
There.
Yes, hi. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, it's Terry Parker speaking.
Hey, Terry.
And considering this is Epilepsy Month, I was wondering if people in this country, this province, this city, where the fact that children are subjects with epilepsy are being used for a psychosurgical experimentation consisting of brain tissue removal, showing up pathology, and including a trespass of U-shaped metallic implants, and does this have any role to play in the whole issue of mind control research and all that kind of stuff? I was wondering about that.
Well, in our interview with Dr. Colin Ross at the start of this series, he did speak about how epilepsy patients have been systematically used by these mind control doctors, and there is going to be more information, I understand, about that coming out in his upcoming book. So hopefully we'll have some good documentation around that. I don't have too much other details, although about epilepsy patients being used for mind control, but it's something that should definitely be looked into.
Would Mr. Gilmore have any kind of understanding of the whole issue regarding psychosurgery or brain mutilation, psychiatric brain mutilation, correctly per se?
No, I not in the context that you're talking of. The only context, I guess, that I have any familiarity with is with Cameron's work, which involved some of those elements. But he was operating at a very crude level. He was an incredibly poor scientist, among other things. And so
what does concern me is that I've been told by the inspector for complaints, the Interior College of Surgeons, you're a victim of criminal code offense. The college has no jurisdiction to initiate a criminal investigation upon its members. Go to the police. Why go to the police? The Toronto Police, 52 Division, is telling me, go back to the college, don't bother us. I go to the federal government, they pass the buck to the provincial government passes the buck to the college. College passes the buck to the police, and it's a complete rigmarole. But that really concerns me that we've got doctors today are obtaining consent by false pretense. They get the parent to give an inch, and they take a mile and a half when it comes to any kind of operative procedure. It's a damn shame that children with epilepsy in this country are not being allowed to have full informed consent when it comes to brain mutilation for psychiatric research and all the rest of it. I still, myself, my mother, are very alarmed, upset, looking at 43 implants right temporal lobe of yours truly's brain. And I'm wondering if I'm not a Manchurian candidate, but better yet, a marijuana candidate, possibly. But it's ridiculous what's going on here, and yet we've got no accountability for doctors. And even more so, where you got a situation where the media sits on the board of directors for 6 years hospital and will not address it, and yet they take great joy in covering it up. It's quite sickening.
Yeah, thanks for your comments, Terry. That's definitely something we're going to be investigating in the next radio series here. Might as well make an announcement now as I'm finishing up this one. We are going to be starting an investigative series into brain implant, the history and development of brain implants, and electronic weaponry as well, directed energy weapons, due to start this summer on this show. Do we have any other callers at this time? Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left in the panel. You can call up and add your comments or questions at 595-1655 or 595-1477. And I guess we should also address other things that people can do to stop or to call for investigation into the mind control experiments. There is an ongoing campaign right now to call for a presidential hearing like the radiation experiments into the mind control experiments on children. and that is being spearheaded by Lynn Moss Sharman in Thunder Bay as and AICS-MC, the Advocacy Committee for Human Experimentation Survivors. So there is an active campaign right now calling for this, and if you, as the public listeners, want to lend your support, you can write to the Canadian and United States governments supporting this call for hearings and for declassifying and releasing the documents regarding mind control. I'm wondering, Don, in your investigation into Cameron, did you come up with much obstruction in terms of getting government documentation, particularly from the U.S., or did you make that attempt in terms of trying to get CIA documentation?
I tried to get the documentation from the States, and what had been released initially, the first round of original documents, which everyone has since used, John Marks and et cetera, it really is as far as anyone has been able to get. So there, it wasn't really possible to go unless you embarked on a very expensive legal battle, which is difficult to do both financially and to kind of marshal it from here, because you have to go through a Washington lawyer. It was more accessible to try and get documents from the Allen. Not an easy thing either, but at least you can get some documents from there. And ultimately, though, you end up with the best record of all this ends up being, I think, to some degree, the anecdotal of doctors who were there who had, you know, differing perspectives back then, because what you need is someone who felt it, in this case, felt that Cameron's work was unethical, even in the context of the times, which was always a big issue, people saying, well, given the context of the times, this work wasn't all that intrusive. And there were people at the time who felt that it was, in fact, unethical, and that ends up being the most valuable source. And I would suspect that in the case of ongoing battles, you know, of a like-minded nature, those are the key ingredients, is to find people who were, you know, near these kinds of things but disapproved for various reasons. And that's going to be a very difficult thing to find. But if they are found, if people do come forward, that will be a valuable thing.
Okay, I believe we have two more callers. And caller, are you there?
Yep.
Yeah, and you have a comment or question?
Oh, yes. Actually, you know, I'm a kind of survivor for this, generally, total mind control. And, actually, I'm 27 years old, and I came to this country just like for the last 9 years. And I did have religious scare for things that's going on around me when I seen this kind of a political economy, especially in this province, you know, Ontario. So I'm really sure, you know, I was being in the community and then I was being segregated to get out from my own people, because they had a plan, they can just to do experiment against me. And then after I was being segregated, I was being forced to live in the rooming house, and there was a kind of a gas spray that was being used through my door, and then there was like some kind of sophisticated way. They did use like just the heater, and then they make like a little hole from downstairs. I used to live in the second floor, from downstairs to, you know, just to the second floor. They make a little hole and they spraying it. So that was supposed to be like against the law. Just they call it like it's administrative nuisance. But there wasn't a law like before February 6, 1996, like in terms of my research. I did see the law books.
What law are you referring to there?
The Canadian law, Canadian Criminal Code, especially under the Drug and Control Act.
But what aspect in terms of the February 96, what came into effect?
Before February 1996, you cannot see, you cannot find any regulation about LSD, especially the D-type. But now LSD has been covered up in the web to confuse the readers, because LSD, they use it like, you know, the people who's musician or something, but LSD is a drug. It's a lysergic acid. It's a D-type, especially the D-type, very strong one. So there's two kind of LSD. One is the D-type, the one's just like, just only lysergic acid.
Yeah, and I think a lot of focus has been put on LSD drug testing, when in fact they have tested hundreds of drugs, as it's my understanding, trying to have some effect on what they want to do. A lot of these are drugs that will induce hypnosis or induce trance states to be more open to hypnosis, and a lot of other drugs are used for coercion. And I don't think LSD has been the only one. They've been testing on hundreds of them, and with you know very dangerous drugs such as scopolamine and so forth that have been used. Well, thank you for your
results. Me, you know, yes, I don't have to see other people to see my result. The results only me. I receive my results just from my own feedback to those people, because their result is their expectation was just my feedback, my response to them. So I'm really sure. I'm really glad just to hear your own program, because it did help me for my own research. I have a friend that I lost, you know, was being killed here. They don't know like what happened to them. Actually, I'm from Ethiopia. You know, I like to be frank. You know, really. It's really very hard. You know, just I lost my 9 years. Actually, my young age here. Really, I supposed to do some other things. I did have university education for my background. I supposed to do like university education here. I supposed to work hard. I supposed to help my family, but now I'm being turned down. You see, just it's a kind of mental deficit. Thanks so much for.
Well, thank you for your comment, and I wish you the best of luck in trying to get, you know, what's going on with you exposed and understood by yourself, and hopefully get some justice. I believe we do have one more caller, and I think that's going to be the last call we'll have on the panel discussion. Hello, caller, are you there? Nope. Okay, I think we've just about run out of time. I'd like to wrap it up. I'd like to thank all of the people that have phoned in and contributed to the show. I'd like to thank Don Gilmore for coming down to the studio and participating in the panel. And thanks go out to Darren for teching, and for Minsook, who was our tech last week. I forgot to thank last week. Just thank you all for your support in doing this radio series. It's been quite a journey for me. I had no idea it was going to last this long. But the issues are very important to a lot of people, and I thank you for your support. You've been listening to CKLN. Do we have time for one more call? We have another caller? No, that's it. Okay, that's it. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned next week. It will be International Women's Day special programming on CKLN.
There'd be no government. People would do what they